And I take great pleasure in presenting them at this particular time.
Ladies and gentlemen, and now the Holyoke Chowder and Marching Society presents the Minstrel. Let's go!
Here, the has been after those razors, old man.
Get it out, boy, and save some for my roses. Tambo! Tambo! Stop loafing, boy, and get out of here. Tambo, I understand that boy of yours is certainly a precocious child.
What I like what you think. Sit right out there.
Well, what I mean is that little boy's head is just full of ideas.
Oh, he had them, but his mama got him out with a fine-tooth comb.
Tambo, whatever he's marked. What I mean is, that boy thinks the thoughts of a much older person.
Well, sometimes I think he do, sometimes I think he's great, but he's pretty smart, too.
He is?
Yeah.
How now?
He got his bitch in the school book.
Well, now, let me...
Got his name in
it. The whole thing?
Yeah. His bitch right in there, right in the school book.
Well, go ahead and explain.
You know, that book they call Who Dat?
All we gotta do is get hurt tonight.
That's enough, fellas. All right, I understand that the boy's dog got killed.
Oh, you mean Laddie?
Yeah, I understand that boy and that dog were just inseparable.
Well, you know that funny thing, too, Mr. Dan Lockter.
How that?
Well, he come home from school one day and his mama said, son, said, I sure hate to tell you this. Said, sit down. Said, this is a big blow. Said, sonny, let it be.
I imagine that the poor boy just walked off weeping and wailing.
No, that's a funny thing. He went in his room, he got his ball and his bat, and he went out and he stopped playing.
Well, I never understand that, child. I thought he and that dog were just boon companions.
They were. They were. That's why I think he's crazy.
Yeah?
That's why he come back in. He said, Mammy, poor old Laddie's dead.
Well, now that is peculiar. Maybe he just didn't understand.
Well, she said, son, that's what I've been trying to tell you. He said, yeah, but I thought you said daddy.
And now we're going to present one of the biggest men in our community, the largest man in the show, singing the preacher and the bear, Ed Fleming. Yay!
Where my instrument there? Oh, that's the wrong one. Go get my instrument. Oh. Thank you, ma'am.
There's a difference.
There ain't no difference.
Oh, a preacher went out a-hunting, 'twas on one Sunday morn. Of course, it was against his religion, but he took his gun along. He shot for himself some very fine quail and one big juicy hare. On the way back, returning home, he found a great big grizzly bear. Oh, the bear walked out in the middle of the road for the waltz with the man, you see. The man, he got so excited, climbed up a cinnamon tree. Oh, we stayed up there, I think it was all night, and then he began to pray. He rolled his eyes to the Lord in the skies. These words he did say.
Oh, Lord!
Oh, Lord! Didn't you deliver Daniel from the lion's den?
Jonah!
Jonah! Jonah from the belly of a whale, and then three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. Oh, the good book do declare. Now, Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, don't you help that bear. Yeah.
Where that girl come? Where that girl? Oh. Come on. Here you is, Mr. Interlocutor.
That girl is just always chasing boys. Sorrowful. I understand that you work with some very wealthy white folks.
Yes, sir, I do. My white folks is so rich, they don't ever pay the bills unless somebody sues them. And they've been sued so many times that every judge in four counties knows them.
Well, Sarville, I'm glad you mentioned the judge. There's something I want to talk to you about.
What, that's it?
I understand that you were down there before that judge yourself last week.
Yes, I was, boss. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
Well, I did. Now, you explain.
Well, that wife of mine had me up for the judge. She brought charges against me for drinking too much. Man, that ain't the truth. No, that ain't right. That ain't right. I don't drink much. That woman I stays with, she is the sorriest, no-count woman I ever did see. Well, I tell you what.
Before you say anything more, let me look around and make sure she ain't in the crowd.
Man, I hope not. Let me go.
Go ahead now.
I need a little pocket change there last month. I took our cook stove down and pawned that pocket change, and she didn't even miss it for 2 weeks.
Of course not. You had her glasses with it. Listen. That's not in the script. I know that. Come on back over here, Sorrowful. I'll put you back on the track again. Now, listen. I understand that white woman there you're working for, she is the most gracious hostess in Columbia County.
Man, that woman can entertain. Well, on the last Tuesday, we had the bishop of the Episcopalian Church over at our house for dinner.
Oh, I suppose you and the bishop is good friends.
Oh, we is very thick. Well, maybe I is a little thicker than two.
Amen, amen.
Yeah, so the bishop, when he came over to our house, he was over again last month. And the bishop, I was talking to him. You know, he came over for dinner, and I told him that I'd been kind of thinking about this thing, and I wanted to join the Episcopalian Church so we could all be together on Sunday.
Man, you shouldn't have embarrassed that bishop like that.
No, the bishop, he didn't, of course, him and hawed around there and stuttered around when I approached him with that, and he said he thought I ought to take it up with the Lord before trying to get in the white folks' church.
Oh, that's the bishop. I know him. He's just letting you down gentle, boy.
Oh, no, man. You don't have to knock me down with a brick wall. The bishop, when he came over again last week, he asked me there what the Lord had said about me joining the white folks' church.
Well, what'd you tell him?
Well, I told him that I took it up with the Lord like he said, and that the Lord said there wasn't a chance. He'd been trying for hundreds of years, and he hadn't ever been able to get in the white folks' church. The bishop didn't think that was very funny at all. He said, Sorrowful, said you and that great big mouth, said you is always talking too much. Said, what you ought to do is pray about that thing. And I dropped down there and I said, oh, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I said enough.
You said enough, boy. You know, it's really wonderful when you can come out and introduce a fella that you know is going to take his place right along with all the other greats in show business. And we have a boy of Italian descent here with us tonight that I know he's going to take his place right alongside of Perry Como and Dean Martin, Al Jolson, all those other Italians. Charlie Capri with Arlie.
As the blackbirds in the spring, neath the willow tree, sat and piped, I heard them sing, singing orally. Orally. Came along with thee and swallows in the air. Orally, orally, made with golden hair. sunshine came along with thee and swallows in the air.
Well, come on, let's hear it for him. You know, Mario Alonzo started out the same way. You know, I see a great number of children out here, and I'm really sorry. I have to apologize for this next thing. I know you kids have been missing all your favorite programs on TV due to the politics going on. But unfortunately, all the candidates don't get elected. And a few of them insist in hanging around even after the campaign is over. And tonight, we have that campaigner every year for governor of the state of confusion, Catfish Buck.
My friends, my dear friends, my beloved friends. Boy, that there script done said cheer, not jeer. I is your candidate for that great state of confusion. And I want you to know that when you elect me as your governor, that I is going to do one thing. I is going to stop this year carousing, this year sinning, and this year whiskey drinking. I tell you, if I has my way, I is going to get a big truck, and I is going right down here to this year town of White Springs and Lake City and Jacksonville, and I is going to load it up with all the whiskey in town, and I'm going to take it all down and throw it in the river. Don't you folks listen to those sinful demons in these here heathens. I want you to know that I want to say a few things about what my candidate, my opponent, has been saying about me. I want you to know that it is not true. I does not meditate in the bed every night. And I does not sleep with the pigs every night. And he's been saying some nasty things. He's been saying I told my girlfriend a lie. He said that I told my girlfriend when she got to be 21 years old, I was going to marry her and take her to Florida to live. And all I told that girl was when she got to be a little bit older, I was going to Tampa with her. Now, folks, now, I want you folks to know one thing. I think this here business of sending satellites up and orbiting them without one of us colored gentlemen on it has got to stop. And I want to tell you that my motto is, there'll be a coon on the moon by June. Now, my opponent says that he's gonna give you a steak for every meal. I tell you, folks, if you vote for him, you'll get poking grits. You'll poke your feet under the table and grit your teeth. Now, you might want to know what my job is, what I does. I is a prescriptionist. People comes to me to see what kind of prescriptions to take to get well. I give prescriptions. Why, just this morning, Mr. Ralph Witt, He done come in my office, and he done had a bad cough. He had a real bad cough. And so I done give him a prescription. I done told him, I said, Mr. Witt, I said, you done take 3 tablespoons full of castor oil every hour on the air hour for 24 hours, and you stop coughing. There's Mr. Witt out there in the audience tonight, and he ain't coughing. Now, my opponent, he's done bragging that he's a big man from Texas, that he's a Texan who's real brave. He's real brave. He done been bragging that he done saved 30-some-odd people from getting killed on an airplane. I want to tell you how he done saved them people. He was on an airplane going from Tampa to New Orleans, and it was a two-motored plane, and it got out over the Gulf of Mexico, and one of the engines done give out, and that plane was just about to drop it on down, and the pilot, he done said, jettison the baggage, throw out everything you got, and we done throwed out everything, and that plane was still dropping on down, and that pilot done said, he says, to save all the people on this here plane, says, what we got to do, four of you people done got to give your life, four of you done got to jump out and save the rest of us. And you know, there's a little old Frenchman, he done walked up there, and he said, what did he say? Oh, that's right, he done said, what would he say? Oh, yeah, he done say, that's right, he done say, Viva la France, and he done jump out. And then there was an Englishman, he done come up there, and he say, God save the Queen, and he done jump out. And then there my opponent, He done stepped up there, and he was a young man there. And them women were crying and weeping here, this young man going to give his life for him, and all. And he got ready, about ready to jump. He reached around behind him, grabbed two Mexicans, dumped their head together, threw them out, and says, Viva la Alamo! It doesn't say it's all. I want you people to know that I want you to make this a fair election. If you haven't already decided to vote for me, leave it to chance. Flip a coin up, and if it lands heads or tails, vote for Catfish Buck for your next governor.
That's the only honest political speech you'll ever hear. We originally had Arthur and Catherine Murray signed up. However, standing here in Catherine's shoes tonight with the old shop's shoe routine is Charlie Cooper. Everybody on the chorus. Arthritis, come on out here.
Yes, boss?
Listen, Arthritis, a fella came into my office the other day with a gadget which ought to interest you.
What kind of meth was that?
Well, it's a little device put in moonshine. You put it in there, and if the device shows you red, shine's no good. Don't drink it. If it turns green, you go ahead and drink it. It's good.
I'm afraid that wouldn't be any help to me.
Listen, if you've stopped drinking, Columbia County's out of work.
Hey, Mr. Locke, what are you doing?
Just a minute. Pardon the interruption. Bones, are you doing?
I read a book.
Arthritis Nye's out here working, slaving, amusing people, and you reading a book?
Yeah,
you pay attention.
You forgot that, Mr. Locke.
What's that?
I've been to the rehearsals. I heard all this stuff before.
One more like that, boy, and you aren't even going to be working no more. Listen, Arthritis. Tell me a little about your brother Bill.
Oh, my brother Bill? Oh, I was going to tell you about him. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He woke up feeling a little feverish the other morning, you know.
Sick.
He called up the doctor, and the doctor said to take his own temperature. He'd be by just a little bit later to see how Bill was getting on.
Well, how'd Bill make out doing that doctoring himself?
Oh, not so good. You know, Bill woke up with, he found 7 stitches and a broken arm.
Not from a fever, man. What happened?
Well, Brother Bill went over next door.
Yeah?
To borrow a thermometer from Cousin Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, all she had was a rectal thermometer, you know.
Uh-huh.
And as he was going out the door, he asked how to use it.
Yeah, but he ain't too smart, that boy.
Well, Cousin Zeke was there. He sort of spoke up and he told him how to use it.
Yeah?
They got into a doggonest fight you ever did see.
Listen, I saw you coming out of a speakeasy this morning. Oh. Right down here in Lake City.
Oh, well, so you didn't maybe stay in there all day, did you?
Look, there was a big old bulge right there in your hip pocket.
Oh, well, you don't expect that quart jaw to lay flat, do you?
But the way you was weaving around, I expected you to fall just flat on your face any minute.
Yes, that's what I did.
Hurt yourself?
Well, I didn't do myself any good.
You break any bones?
Nose, but when I got up, something was running down my leg.
Oh, man, I bet you were scared.
Scared? I never been so scared in all my bone days.
Well, what'd you do?
I stood right there in the street and prayed.
The prayers of the wicked availeth not. What did you pray?
I said, oh, Lord, please don't let that be nothing but blood.
You know, I ride down here in the automobile with this next fella. He doesn't like the way I introduce him. He sings a little song called When You Were Sweet 16, and I promised that I was not going to introduce him tonight as the only 16-year-old grandfather in the troop, Mike Malzberger.
When first I saw the love light in your eyes, I knew the world held nothing more for me. And even though we've drifted far apart, in dreams, my dear, I only dream of thee. I love you as I never loved before. Since first I met you on the village green, come to me and my dream of love is o'er. I love you as I loved you when you were sweet.
It got me.
When you were sweet, 16.
I love you as I never loved before. When you were sweet,
Jubilation, come on
yes,
out.
Yes, sir, boss. Yes, sir. I was
here
tonight.
Oh, you're a happy
last
rascal.
Time you called me, I wasn't here, but I was here tonight.
I'm glad you got here tonight, friend. Let me understand your son Jordan is in college.
Yes, sir. Jordan's in college.
Well, what seems to be the boy's ambition going on to higher education like that?
Well, so far as I can figure, he's trying to finish his freshman term in 4 years.
You know, that's kind of strange. I have always been impressed. I thought he was a very bright lad. Do the examination questions give that boy any trouble?
No. As a matter of fact, the questions don't give him any trouble at all. But the answers, they throw him for a go.
Well, Jubilation, I can't understand. He's a smart boy.
You know, one day the teacher asked him a question and he didn't make the slightest attempt to answer it.
Well, maybe he didn't hear her.
Oh, he heard all right. When the teacher asked him why he didn't answer, he just shrugged his shoulders and he said, "I shook my head."
Well, that's an awfully abrupt answer to give a teacher.
Well, the teacher was just as sharp. He said, "Jordan," he said, "you didn't expect me to hear it rattle way up here, did you?"
Well, good for the teacher.
That kid's always stalling. If he don't know the answer, he just tries to bull his way right through it.
Poor Jordan.
One day, the teacher asked the class if anyone knew the cause of cancer.
Now, who's ever going to know the cause of cancer?
Well, Jordan said he did know, but he had done forgotten.
Oh, boy, that teacher didn't let him get away with that, did she?
She sure didn't. She called Jordan up the front of the class. She made him stand there, told the class to take a good look at him. "Consider the pity of it all," he said. "Here stands the only man that's ever known the cause of cancer, and he has forgotten it."
Well, boy, that's really rubbing it in a little, don't you think?
Oh, my sympathies are all with the teacher. One day he asked which was closer, England or the moon.
That's a right silly question.
Well, Jordan gave him a silly answer. He said the moon was closer.
Well, now why on earth that boy say the moon's closer than England?
Well, he said you can see that moon from any place in the United States, but you can't see England.
Jubilation, you got reason to worry over Jordan's scholastic future, let me tell you.
Well, you know, he took his examinations last week, and I made him promise to send me a telegram as soon as he got the results.
Well, you heard?
Yeah, I got a telegram just this morning. I'll read it to you.
Get it out. Let me see it. Where is it? Get it out. Find it, quick.
There it is.
Ha, you got it, rascal.
Man, wait.
She's still all sealed up.
Break it out. Let's go.
Says, quote hymn 254, verse 5, last two lines.
Well, let me see here. I don't make head or tail out of that. What is?
Well, I got out the family hymn book and looked it up.
Yeah, can you make anything out of it then?
Yeah, it says, "Sorrows vanquished, labors ended, Jordan passed."
Thank you, Jubilation.
Get a little hand out here, fellas.
Every show has one fella who always stays 39 years old. We've got one here. And just like the one that's so famous on the radio, and I even understand he's got his own program this year on TV, which is nice. Young fellas ought to get ahead. He's going to play all the way through, all by himself, with no help, Jack Hutchinson. Come on, where are you, Jack? Jack? When you're 39, you get a lot of service, believe me. Here you go, tying this onto that banjo. Clip it on you right about here.
All right.
His heart's on the wrong side.
hung out there, it'd be another Elvis Presley.
I'm right with you. Hey, Lightning, where are you tonight? Lightning!
Oh, boss, yeah, I am.
Woo! Oh, you're right out there. How you feeling tonight?
Oh, man, I feel like a Vanguard missile. Yes, sir.
Like a Vanguard missile? How's that, Lightning?
Well, I ain't gonna work, and you can't fire me.
It's the truth. Let's hear it.
Yes, sir.
Listen here, Lightning.
Yes, sir.
I understand you're a teacher out here in a college school.
That's right. I'm teaching now. I'm a professor. Yes.
Well, professor, to address you by your full title.
Yes.
You got any problems out here?
Well, I've got all kinds of problems. I've got big problems with the school board.
Well, now, what kind of problems you got with the school board? You're just a teacher.
Well, last week they wanted more kickback than they gave me in salary.
Boy, from the response to that crowd, things are honest in Columbia. Remember, we come from Duval.
That's right. On the St. John's.
All right, let me hear, Lightning.
Let me tell you, before you go any further.
Yeah, I was going to try and tell you, but you go ahead and tell me.
This school board I work with, they is awful. They is awful. Why, just last week I give them an intelligence test.
Oh, now, hold on. Now, wait a minute. Now, look, I hate to appear very... I don't know what an intelligence test is. Will you tell me?
Well, an intelligence test is a test that you give to people to find out how stupid they are. And believe me, I found out how stupid that school board is. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me tell you.
You're an exaggerator. I know they don't elect stupid people to school boards. I haven't been elected.
This one is stupid. I asked one simple question. I said, what is a goblet?
Hey, that's easy. I don't know, but my wife do.
Well... one of them school board members said a goblet is a small sailor.
For those of you in the back that didn't get it, he said a goblet's a small sailor.
Let me tell you another question I asked him. I says to the school board on this intelligence test, if Shakespeare was living today, do you think he would be considered to be so great?
That's a very interesting question. And I'll admit that even I might be able to get up a pretty good answer for that one.
Well, one of the school board members says certainly he'd be great. He'd be over 300 years old.
He would that. I haven't seen one around in a long time.
Let me tell you.
Okay, you tell me.
I've got problems with teachers, too. I got one cross-eyed teacher up there that can't control her pupils at all.
You got it, Bone? Okay, the rest of you boys with it? Okay. All right.
The cross-eyed teacher, she can't control her pupils.
Keep looking, they went home.
Well, I'll tell you, there's all kinds of problems at school, so I got a problem with a student the other day come in and told me his automobile blew up.
An automobile that blew up?
Yes, he said he had a brand new 1960 Ford.
Oh, no brand names. This isn't a commercial program.
Well, he said he was standing at a stoplight in this car waiting for the light to turn green.
Yeah.
And another fella pulled up alongside him with a gleam in his eyes like he wanted to race.
A hot rodder.
Yeah. So he said that when the light turned from red to green, that he threw that new Ford in that L gear.
Okay, now look, I'll admit I'm playing straight, man. What's an L gear?
Well, he said that was the lunge gear. And he said that car lunged forward to about 45 miles an hour. And he looked over his shoulder, and here comes that fella that was racing him, getting ready to pass him.
Well, what did he do? This is a crucial point in the race. Quick. What did he do?
He said he threw the car into the D gear then.
Okay, what's a D gear on one of these new cars?
Why, that's the drag gear, he said. And he said that the car was dragging along about 65 miles an hour, and he looked over his shoulder, and here comes that fella racing him, and going to pass him again.
Yeah, well, what did he do this time?
Well, he said then he threw the car into that R gear, the racing gear, and he said that's when it blew right up. Good night.
Tambo, don't sit down. I got a chore for you.
Yeah.
You're kind of silly, and I'd like you to sing a little song out here. Try Kentucky Babe. See what you can do to that, boy.
All you grown folks sitting out there, you ever get tired of being grown? Get tired of all these problems? All this fighting it every day long. You wish maybe you was about the size of old little Tad sitting next to you. Get in a little bit of trouble and you climb up in your mammy or your pappy's lap and sing your lullaby. Let's try to turn back the pages a little bit. Let us sing your lullaby. Close your eyes now and think back.
Skeeters am a-humming on the honeysuckle vine. Sleep, Kentucky babe. Sandman, I'm a-coming to this little babe of mine. Sleep, Kentucky babe. Silvery moon, I'm shining in the heavens up above. Bobolink, I'm pining for his little lady love. You is mighty lucky, babe of old Kentucky. Close your eyes and sleep.